Hello, this is Michael McDonald, and you're listening to Jonah Radio.
You're just gonna be that kind of party. I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Neil, out here, just a little bit sweet, but I'm tripping out.
Jonah Radio coming at you from the new state of California, state of emergency. I am Jonah, and I am tinged and coughing. Neil is here wearing his protective gear.
Yep.
Yes, his mask and his fedora. And then Cash is here.
Hi, everybody.
Cash,
not a fedora.
You're getting ready. You're getting ready to even go deeper into the smoke.
I know.
Weeks.
I saw my future in the flames, and I'm pursuing it.
Right on, brother. Right on. Our guest today is a returning guest. I guess we didn't disappoint too much last time he was on the show, but he is
just the right amount.
One of our favorite guys. One of my favorite musicians around right now. His name is Jeff Rosenstock.
Hello, hi, nice to be here. First fire season.
Yay! Oh, that's right. It's your first fire season. Welcome. How you adapting?
I thought today's crazy, huh? I walked into like the windows open in her bathroom. All of our other windows are closed, and I walked into my bathroom. I was like, oh, it's smoky.
Yeah.
It's like it's snowing.
Yeah. It's wild.
Well, which is wild because
it's apocalyptic. You know.
Two states over, it is snowing for some reason.
Yeah, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
For some reason. If only something was going on that would explain all of this.
Yeah. If there was something like maybe 20 or so years ago that someone mentioned was happening and we did nothing.
20 years ago, that would be
so hard to remember.
Plandemic.
Nirvana.
Anyway.
Yeah, no.
Talk about Teen Spirit.
And then everything changed.
You ever notice that everything changed after Nirvana, man?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Water boils at a lower point now, man.
I just watched The Dead Don't Die, that Jim Jarmusch zombie movie. Did anyone see that?
Yeah,
I saw it was on last night, and then I was like, I just wasn't in the mood for it.
Yeah, you mean it's like
Jarmusch.
Yeah, it's Jim Jarmusch. It's like that pacing, but it's very slow. But like the zombies, like they like basically there was a drilling in the Arctic, and it changes the Earth's axis, and that's why zombies. And, but it's like it's a zombie comedy, so they're like they over explain it nonstop, and then. Jeff, how long have you been in LA?
I moved here in January.
Oh. So 2020 is an odd year for you in general.
It's disorienting for sure. Like I'm still adjusting to that. There's like no seasons.
For sure. That's going to take years.
But I mean, it's also
a year.
Every other thing happening.
It's fine.
Yeah.
If you haven't looked at the news yet, fucked up.
Everyone's dealing with like the every day is the same, even more so now. But originally, when I moved to LA, I was like, there's no seasons. I can't tell how to feel.
Yeah.
There's no weather. There's no seasons. There's just every day is Groundhog Day.
And as a consequence of that, years will whip by. It's kind of amazing when it's like all you have is like Christmas, and you're like, oh, I guess that is another year. But it's like when January feels like June, it just like time does not seem to move.
As somebody that grew up without seasons. I just feel like they look like a pain in the ass for the most part.
Do you feel like when Californians say there are no seasons, you're like, I'm from Hawaii, motherfucker. Really have no seasons.
Yeah, we have some rain and some more rain. That's basically, those are the two seasons in Hawaii. And it's like at least like leaves fall here. At least I can go, hey, look at that. There's a leaf on the ground. I guess I should pay my rent.
once a quarter.
Yeah. But yeah, so but you came out here. Was it because of Craig of the Creek? Because you already worked on all the stuff for Craig of the Creek.
Yeah, it was for a lot of reasons. I mean, just, you know, that added to it. It was just interesting being the only person who was not like in Los Angeles that was working on that show. I wanted to do more stuff. I was like, okay, I'll be out here. I'll go like meet folks and maybe score a movie or some shit.
So, yeah.
Not gonna happen. And my sister, my brother lived out here. My sister lives out here. They both have kids. I got friends out here.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, yeah, let's shake things up a little bit.
Yeah. I'm always like, I've been out here. I grew up in Hawaii. Then I was 19. I moved out to Los Angeles and I've been here ever since. And like, I feel like so jealous of when I hear people tell stories of, I lived in Seattle for a couple of years and then I was in Boston, and I go, I want that so bad in my life to have lived in more than two places.
You could do that.
I'm trying.
Where are you like, right now? Where are you going? What do you got your sights set on?
London. London.
London is the one I want to do.
Oh, that one's hard though. There's a whole ocean.
But the thing is, it's like, I like, cause I've been around the States so much, but I like the idea of getting a job and living in London, because then it's just like quick train rides to explore a ton of the world I've never seen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, all the UK is just like super easy to check it all out. And yeah. I've thought of moving to like Glasgow or something, because Scotland is just like the fucking best.
I have friends that live in Glasgow, and like the guys from Paws are like live over there, and or not Phil anymore, but like, it's like, there was a point where I was like, well, I don't know. There's that place is too. And that's a quick plane ride to Amsterdam or Sweden or fucking anywhere over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go. Then I'll have no friends.
Finally. But what do you, how are you handling the no tour? Cause this is probably the longest you've gone since you were a child without
being. Yeah. Yeah. That is a correct assessment. It's weird. I don't know. I mean, I like, sometimes I'll get really bleak about it and just kind of really, sometimes it's really, how do I put it? Like, it's easy to feel that you're just like, oh, this, the fucking, like the thing that I do that makes me feel like I'm a purposeful human being, and also that like satisfies all this like weird mental health shit inside me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing that anymore, and I don't know when I'm ever gonna do that again. And that's a very fucked up, dark feeling. But also, I'm super grateful that I am still like, that I'm still making music, that I'm still a working musician, that I'm still like, that Craig of the Creek is like season three is still going as
that's it's great
going. So I'm still doing that. I moved out here thinking I was going to travel and see my friends. I thought I'd be back in New York like three times this year. Like, when we left New York, I feel like I was just like, okay, everybody, see you in May. Yeah. Like, I'm so used to going on tour anyway that it's like, okay, like I'm fucking in and out. It didn't really seem like that big a deal. And now I'm just kind of like, ah, shit. It's just weird, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a real fucking trip. But you've been doing, you've been still performing, you've been doing Instagram Live benefit shows and stuff like that.
And actually, those are more fun and satisfying than playing in a room with people and with all your friends. So it works out great.
Yeah. Well, so you've done with some regularity, AJJ has been doing it with like, I think every Friday since this began.
Every day. Every day. I don't know. Christ. I think it's still every day. Yeah, Sean, I don't know if he's just like, I know he's a glutton for punishment. And I know he likes doing funny things, but I wonder if he thought it was going to go on for as long as it's going on.
He, like, we were texting because I watched him when he first started doing him. I was watching him pretty regularly, and we would text each other and like, about like that, just that need, that performer need to like do something. And like, and like he asked, like he texted me, he's like, how are you as a fellow extrovert dealing with like this thing? And I was like, clearly a little better than you. Cause like there was a time where I got like, and this was, you know, over the summer, it was just kind of like, I was like, oh, I don't know. I feel okay. Just kind of taking a break and not feeling the need to have any kind of output. And then you realize like how much that really fills a little bit of a hole inside
you. Yeah, I totally get that. Like, we the band took a year off of tour, like right before all this happened. Like, we figured No Dream was gonna come out and that we were gonna like get back on the road again, because I was like, you know, I feel like I am introvert and extrovert depending on what's like attacking me in a way. yeah, I was like losing my mind, and I was like, I need space. And now I'm just like, couldn't I have just held on for fucking like 10 more months? And, like,
just put a little nest egg away.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, speaking of No Dream, it is, and I think I told you this when I heard it. It was this album is your best album.
Thanks, Jonah.
Yeah, it really was. It felt, and I think I said this, it was instant. Like, listening to it felt like an immediate classic, which I don't feel too much anymore. Sometimes, like, a lot of stuff, like, it's like, if it's too familiar, you go, well, it's fine. Like, you know, it's like, you'll like something, but it's not gonna stick around. Or if something's that you try, and, you know, as you get older, you start to kind of try and find stuff that's challenging to you. But there was something about this that was so fleshed out and so like mature, but, and very punk and snotty at the same time. And then also like familiar and new. It was like, it was incredible to listen to, like, cause right away, it just like, it was just, and what, like, was this just another album for you, or was this,
well, none of none of them are, sorry, I interrupted. Was there a,
there was one of those trail
second questions.
It was one of those trail off questions where you were supposed to jump
yes.
in.
Yes. Great. Any question that I was supposed to interrupt is like perfect. No, I mean, every record for me is like, I'm trying to write it as if it's the last record that I'm ever making. Mm-hmm. I don't really take for granted that anybody will ever decide to continue listening to my music after I make something. So I was just like, all right, try make this one a good one. And I never really know like how anybody will receive it. I was really happy to see that people like this record a lot. It makes me feel good when that is the response.
I mean, have you had that before? Because, you know, being in the punk world, there is that, like, you know, every time there's a new punk record, you know, kids are going to speculate, like, is he trying to go poppier? Is he being too stagnant? I know, like, as like, you know, there was, I always think about this, like the Weaker Thans never, they put out like basically the same album over and over again, but I mean,
did they?
No,
I take issue with that.
I'm like, you know, Fallow is like his own little thing, but like, I know that wasn't an insult. I'm saying like, they put out like a great record, like every single record. No. I can't put one above the other.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like I guess that's the example, is that like the Weaker Thans are a band to me that I feel like grew with every record, like versus, say you have like Dillinger Four and you have the Weaker Thans, and both of them have only made good records.
Yes, very true.
But like the Weaker Thans, like I felt like Left and Leaving was a step up in production, and then Reconstruction Site was a step up in like, just a lot of horns and a lot of interesting stuff and more of like a country, like a lot of slide guitar and just like a different vibe. That Reunion Tour felt really icy and had like all these like synths and like the way Utilities ended up on that record.
Yeah.
Like is so much different from the way that like he was playing it live on his own and stuff. And I felt like it was like a really nice arc. And I think like that's, I think when I'm making another record, I'm taking issue. I'm not really taking issue.
Well, no. It's like, you know,
exciting to, you know, take issue, I think, on a podcast.
Having you
hot takes.
Having you,
my spicy takes of the Weaker Thans.
But I love it. They're like one of my all time. They're one of my top five bands. But like hearing you say that, because I always just say that, I was like, they put out the same record, and it was almost like a compartmentalized way of saying how much I like all their records. It's like,
sure, yeah.
It's like they put out the same record every time, and it's my favorite record every time.
Well, he just keeps writing fucking good songs.
I mean, those solo records,
unstoppable.
That like Millennium for All is one of the best songs he's ever written. I think it's such an incredible song.
Yeah. How about, did you hear Fantasy Baseball, The End of the World yet?
Yes, we played that a few weeks ago. And it's,
God, I saw him play that live on his own when he was doing a solo show. And he like preceded it by basically saying like, things are kind of too bleak to write music right now. None of my songs seem like they're worth singing. I wrote a song about my fantasy baseball team. And I was like, play it, play it. I guess. And then he played it. And everyone in the room was just like odd hush. And it was just like, this is incredible. And then when that song came out, I feel like I avoided it for a while. But the day that I listened to it, I just listened to it like 10 times in a row. Just like, tears, just yeah. Like, oh man,
yeah. But thanks for actually putting that the weekend as a perspective for me, because I think it might have also been a thing where they did grow, but I grew with it, and it was like,
yeah.
I think it's like I was at the age when those were coming out where it was hidden the right way every single time.
Isn't that like, the cool shit?
I think that's the coolest shit.
Like, could, like if you take like Green Day for example, mm-hmm. They're still progressing in a way, but like whatever track they're on like has nothing to do with me anymore. It's kind of similar with Weezer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like props to you for experimenting, but it's cool a band like the Weaker Thans is just always like stays anchored in like, I think it's because they fucking stay anchored in punk. I think it's because John K. Samson's a fucking punk. And I think that like, you know, so I guess to like circuitously answer your question about it, it's like, I think that for me, as I was like personally listening to like more power pop and more like pop music, more indie rock, there is also the side of me that was like listening to more like the hardcore records that like Jack Shirley makes, or listening to Converge, or listening to like more thrash, and just like, if you're going to pull it this way, you got to pull it in a more fucked up way and make it even more fucked up sounding. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I've tried. That's how like I've attacked the question of like, how do you make your records? How do you grow while still like, while not like doing some like whack bullshit basically.
Yeah.
And you never really know until people are like, hey, good news. Your record isn't lame. And you're like, oh, okay. Woo.
Yeah.
Gosh, it this time. Can't wait to make another one.
I love the idea of somebody walking up to you and going like, good news. My opinion of your record is good. Like that.
It just happened.
Really?
Well, right here. On this podcast. True. We can't walk up to each other anymore. Jeez, come on. Have some sensitivity about it. It's a pandemic.
Going back to Green Day, I remember when Warning came out and I was so stoked. I was like, all right, here we go. Like, I loved that turn, that Kinks turn of Warning, and how it was like
literally playing Picture Book.
Yes, exactly. Not the first or last time he would rip off a riff. But when you're, you know, doing speed and making, you know, 800 songs a month.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I Warning, when it came out, I remember being really bummed that the guitar tones were so clean. Mm. And then when American Idiot came out, I was like, I was fucking stoked. I thought that shit was awesome. I thought it was so cool that they were like making these like two, like Jesus of Suburbia and the one at the end of the record, I forget what it's called. I think it's called Homecoming. Mm. Are both like people hadn't made like punk songs that were like that before. And also the guitars sounded mean. And I was like, this is cool. And Kathleen Hanna was on a song and the melodies were really good. And then like, as that rollout of that record happened, cause I also remember reading interviews when it came out, they'd be like, I don't know. We made like a fucked up record. I don't know what people are going to think about this. And then like, I don't know, like the video for American Idiot with like the, I don't know, that guy, Samuel Bayer. I won't talk shit about Green Day, but I could talk shit about that director of all those things. It seemed like it's the most like toxic male energy thing, like just like, yeah. I don't know. The video for Wake Me Up When September Ends, which is like the
anti-war,
like army war story. And you think about how like Billy Joe wrote that about his dad, is just like, why would you turn this into this? Billy Joe, if you're listening, look, man, I'm just a fan. I'm sorry.
I too am a fan and still listen to a lot of Green Day. And I like it. They're a band that I'll always check out a new record.
Yeah.
For sure. But I do remember when the American Idiot, like the thing that threw me off, I was like, that's a D4 riff.
Yeah.
That was a Dillinger 4 riff. And then they were able to get money off of it because he.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's like, it's crazy. It's like, it's like, that's you know, I want you to all pay attention.
How do you do that? How do you, that's so brazen.
That's the thing. He did it with like the Kinks on multiple songs on that album. But I do want to play a song. I'm going to take a break and play a song from your new album. Old Crap, I think, is such a great, great song. Cool. Is that okay? Or do you have a preferred song you want?
No, I'm stoked that you're playing Old Crap.
Yeah, I love it. But we just need to take a break with the song. And when we come back, we're gonna have an ad probably, right?
Yeah, about right now.
Yeah, and then more Jeff Rosenstock when we come back. We're listening to this in real time.
Oh boy.
Go back to the old crap, to the thing. You tell yourself you've gotten through. But it's just been a wake up desperately. Trying not to sweat off the glue. Cause the body wants to do things that the body wants to do. It's a shell coated in candy for the ground that waits for you. Rip your friends off, write a new song, call it shame, and claim it's a delible truth. Play the victim, be a shit, and throw the blame at anyone coming for you. Cause the brain's gonna do things that the brain's gonna do. I'm the worst kind of person, and I'm still in love with you. Has it animosity could just correct through the fog of a pixelated memory that you figured was long gone? Shape shifts into guilt that causes your way to rights and wrongs. Cause you told yourself you're the kind of person who knows how to move on. And the only way to trick yourself into not feeling insane are the negative impulses that you struggle to restrain. You know that nothing's real but just take your oath into mistakes anyway. And you're paralyzed by the outed lies that these people never change. Call it X, but it ain't seen proof that the world ain't fucked and we ain't just doing the truth. So say go pop out.
Hey everybody, it's Cash here to talk to you about Keeps. Did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. Well, now you can get treated from home. You used to have to go to a doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. And Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but probably never for this price. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments can take up to 4 to 6 months or more to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll have. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/radio to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/RAYDIO. Keeps.com/radio. Keep it.
Well, says Bob Dylan, you're listening to Jonah Radio.
All right, we're back with more Jeff Rosenstock. Jeff currently appearing live on Instagram sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yes, and then also Craig of the Creek. You can hear his music there. And you did there was a compilation, I believe, like a soundtrack that came out.
There's a musical episode. I did a musical episode.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. It's exciting. It's cool. That was fun.
How did that work? Did they came to you with lyrics or?
I came. So I flew out here, and I went into the writer's office, and they had like a premise, and we talked about it, and we talked about like, okay, well, where would the songs be? Like they had the idea that the plot is that it's raining and Craig can't go outside and play at the creek. So he imagines playing and like he kind of just goes on this like magical journey, but he's just thinking about it instead of doing it. And then we're just like, okay, well, what would the songs be? Like, oh, it would be cool. So like, you got to say that that's happening. You got to like announce what's going on and then we'll have him going along and meeting all these different tribes of the creek. And then it's like, oh, it'd be cool if Ren, the science person, had a song. And then it was like, oh, Kelsey's got to have a song. JP's got to have a song. And then it was like, oh, now we're pretty much done. And then I was like, you know, we kind of went through it all. And then I kind of in the room with my little like keyboard was like, okay, well, what if this song was like this? And they were like, whoa. You could just write songs like that. I'm like, that's how I feel every time you fucking send me an episode. I'm like, you just drew this? Like, you know, just took a pen and now this works. And then I went back to like this Airbnb in North Hollywood where I was staying with like two like small synthesizer things and a MIDI controller and a couple of instruments that I borrowed and like recorded the first song and sent it over. It was like, is this the classic, like, is this good? And they're like, yeah, that's good. I was like, oh, okay, great. And then went in the next day, talked about what the next song should be. And I was like, okay, cool. And then just kind of did that for four or 5 days and then it was done. And then, yeah. And it's fun to me that like, that's what is on, what's on the episode is like what I recorded on my laptop in someone else's apartment in North Hollywood. And like, I was like singing guide vocal tracks. And one of the songs is like a hardcore song. So I'm just like screaming my ass off at someone's apartment and just like leaving, just like dripping in sweat where my neighbors are just like, who is this person?
I was just reading the story cause it was like the 10th anniversary of Scott Pilgrim and Beck like posted a thing about it on his Instagram. And I think we mentioned this, but like how, you know, him and Edgar Wright and Brian Lee O'Malley came on their bus while he was on tour. It was like, here are the storyboards. Like, here's the thing. We want you to write songs like in this kind of maybe style or something like that. And he's like, okay, when I get back from tour, I'll make some stuff. So like after tour, he just like roughed out with some friends, like live tracks of like some songs. And then he sent them over. He's like, oh, here's what I'm thinking. Is this good? And then Edgar was like, these are great. And then ended up just using those.
Is that what that is?
Yes. That's tight. All that stuff is like rough demo shit that in like he's like and props to the actors because they had to like learn all the mistakes I made not thinking that these were going to be the final things.
Did That's the actors awesome. Play their instruments on it? I didn't read that 10th anniversary thing. Did the actors play and sing? How did that work?
No, I think it was all
it was all just a demo.
It was all Beck.
That's fucking wow. That shit's rad. See, I like there's spirit in people. This is like, I don't know. I go on this tirade all the fucking time, but like the like over quantizing and auto tuning and fixing everything and making everything perfect. Like you lose all that spirit that's in the demo where you fuck everything up, but it just like has so much life in it. And it just like has so much energy. Like I don't understand.
You feel more in the room. Like you feel like you're seeing a live show. I listened to an interview about Run the Jewels 4
Yeah.
And then Zach De La Roca did like a demo for his verse on something. And then LP was like, okay, that's great. Yeah. So when are you, if you just, you know, want to do it on a better microphone and send me something. And he was like, oh, okay. And then like a week went by and Zach called him up and was like, so what kind of microphone should I buy? And he was like, what? He's like, that microphone is what I did everything I've ever done on, just screaming in my bedroom. Like it's a Shure SM50 or whatever. Like they're like the shitty stage mics that comics use.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's the only mic I've ever had. And he's like,
that's so sick.
And then LP was like, okay, never mind. Yeah. Like if it was good enough for fucking all that shit.
Like, well, I just love
do you guys know that the Rage Against the Machine record was recorded live with people? Like the first record, the self-titled record, was like, they just set up the studio like a practice space and had a few friends come over and they just played it. And that's the record.
Yeah.
Like,
so
him
I think
singing into them. Like,
yeah. Wasn't there a thing where it's like they were recording it like in a studio and it just wasn't working.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Cause they were at the Sunset Sound, wherever the movie, I think it's Sunset Sound.
Yeah.
That made the Dave Grohl documentary.
Oh no. Sound City. That was
Sound City. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
That's the valley, yeah.
Jeez, man. Hey, I just moved here.
Sunset Sounds right on Sunset, man.
Yeah, Sunset. Yeah. That's right next to the now disgraced Ryan Adams studio.
Yeah, and the now disgraced, what was that, British pub that is no longer
Cat and Fiddle?
There? Yeah, Cat and Fiddle.
I mean,
ADHD.
All right.
How many? No, let's go through what's disgraced.
Wow, this town's changed, huh?
Local references. 20 yeah. years goes by in a minute.
All right. Okay. It's time for some Cash. What do you want to do?
Music news.
That's right. It's time for music news.
Oh, cool.
Where Jeff Rosenstock is going to join us.
Thank you.
Join us as.
Muted my microphone during this, and I was like, huh.
Huh.
That's interesting. I guess
I thought this was a full on interview. Yeah.
Our people here. Talked.
So here's some news. Travis Scott.
Oh boy.
Rapper singer Travis Scott is getting his own McDonald's meal deal.
Ooh. So like every time he comes in, they just like have it ready for him or what?
Spin is reporting on this. So he's the first celebrity to be featured at McDonald's since 1992.
I'm sorry, is fucking Batman not a celebrity?
Can you guess who who the last person was that would have done had a meal deal?
I would guess Michael Jackson.
Close.
Tito Jackson?
No, just to change the last name.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Great guess, Neil. The guy who knew it.
Spit it out.
It's very cool that you just jumped in. We could have had some fun with these guys guessing, but
they each guessed.
Did you know you knew it?
Neil knew it.
I knew it.
Yeah.
You looked this up together?
No, I just am in the know.
It's called the Cactus Jack. Is the meal.
That was a wrestler that Mankind, yeah. It was like an alter ego of Mankind.
Yeah, but they're not saying exactly what the meal is.
Is it like nopales on a Big Mac?
Oh, it's like a bacon, it's like a ketchup. Bacon quarter pounder and like some like...
Oh, there it is, I'm seeing it now. Yeah, sorry, quarter pounder with cheese, bacon, lettuce, a medium world famous fries with barbecue sauce to dip, and a Sprite.
What's a world famous fries? I haven't been to McDonald's in fucking 15 years.
I don't know. I don't know.
I got money now. I go to Jack in the Box.
I saw that Jack in the Box had a deal. It was like 50 tiny tacos for $3 or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Man.
Yeah. When I was driving Uber, I was sort of a consumer of, but French of fast food. And I ate that.
I had a weird... Terrible. I had like, it's like a lot of time, like, you know, going home drunk and like going through a drive-thru, a Jack in the Box drive-thru. And I would have this thing where I'm like, I shouldn't do this. And then also I'm in the drive-thru and I get like, you know, a breakfast sandwich from there, like a double cheese sausage thing. And then I would like I'd be driving home eating it. And then I would have this, like, I would just maybe catch myself in the rearview mirror and go, what am I doing? And then I would just throw it out of the window.
Yeah. The McGriddle was a sandwich that like brought it, it really brought me a lot of self reflection. I feel like every time I eat one, I'd be like, "It's just wow." Sorry, but, Crash.
No, go ahead.
That's not that. That's not the only person that's doing some food items. As we, you know, we said a couple weeks ago, Master P is putting out some rice and some syrup.
Together?
No. Just he's doing his own like because to replace Aunt Jemima's, he's doing a Master P syrup.
Okay.
And Uncle Ben. Who said syrup?
I did.
Okay. All right. Cool. Great. Just wanted to make sure who was kind of being racist there.
Why is that racist?
No, syrup is a different thing. That's cough syrup with codeine in it.
Yeah.
And rappers from the South tend to drink it.
Okay, so yeah. And rappers from the South tend to be?
White.
Paul?
Hatebreed's Jamie Jasta is now making Jasta pasta.
Oh, no.
Huh.
I laughed so hard a little snot came out of my nose.
So, guy from
I embrace the entrepreneurship, right. But like the dumb name, oof.
Sell me on the Jasta pasta. Why am I buying this instead of pasta?
So you can buy one of like maybe you want Perseverance Penne.
Oh.
The label, of course, has that you know hardcore hate breed font. His name is you know it says Jasta, and then it's a guy in a hoodie. Looking tough, holding a plate of pasta on the cover.
Wow.
And on the back, you see it says, "This pasta, it fuels me. The flavor excites me. The texture is perfect. It makes me rock harder." Jeremy Jasta.
I'm in on this Jasta pasta. 110%. Yeah. This rocks.
Would you do
what, if you? But did I reject the notion that pasta has a flavor. It's literally like, it's like bread. You put other shit in it to have it have flavor.
But to be fair, you haven't had this pasta.
Yeah, that's
true. Okay, yeah. It might have like, a drink or something. With,
but, you know, good cinnamon. Noodles good noodles make a difference. Good noodles can make a difference.
They do. Yeah. Makes all the difference.
So it is important. It's very important. So Perseverance Penne might be the way to go.
Well, and then there's Patti LaBelle pies, which we all know and love.
Of course. Jeff, if you did a... a food, what would it be? What would be the Rosenstock meal?
I don't the Rosenstock meal. I like that Travis Scott's fucking McDonald's meal like chooses your beverage for you.
Yes,
get a Sprite. It's like all right.
You get the Travis Scott meal, but can I get like a Coke Zero? Sorry, you cannot get
it's,
it.
It's not the Travis Scott.
Yeah, that's
meal
gonna be $65 extra.
Yeah, that's a Jim Jones.
I don't know what I would make. I would just. I don't. I would. Taco Bell, have them bring back potatoes and have some fake meat shit.
There you go.
Can I suggest one?
A vegan Mexican pizza. A vegan
I was going to say Jeff Rosenstock's soup stock.
Just there we go.
Yeah.
That's better. And like it's a delicious rosewater soup stock that no one could possibly imagine eating. And that'll be great.
You guys ever made,
I don't have to make that many.
You ever made rice in a rice cooker with a vegetable stock instead of water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got some like some of this like fake beef bouillon shit and this garlic bouillon we throw in there. Throw some curry in there if you're making like a fried rice situation. Like it's nice.
Yeah. I just make like a shitload of rice and then in the I eat it with whatever vegetables I was making that night, and then the leftover rice you make like these little discs of rice that you fry in a frying pan and then crack an egg in the middle of it for breakfast.
Oh, I'm gonna do that. I always make extra rice and then save the cold rice for fried rice later on and then forget about it. And then 10 days later, I have gross rice in my fridge.
Of course.
So this seems better.
Dan Engler went on Twitter and asked our listeners to build a combo meal for a band. For example, he said the Minutemen would be 3 corn dogs and a Corona. he was using the hashtag mealed it.
That's a good one.
At Life of Brian says the Devo would be a Costco pack of Lunchables and 2 jugs of Tang. I guess that is like a deconstructed.
Yeah.
De-evolution. At Tiny Max Dolphin says, the man is just lemon vodka and churros. I guess you got to really know what Ryan Kattner likes to...
Well, no, that's a line from one of the songs.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Ron Penny says, the Weezer is a Subway Italian BMT and Adderall. I don't think I know... Why?
You don't know. You haven't listened to their later material, huh?
I guess not. Yeah. That does just sound like it's like that. Just sounds like college to me.
Yeah.
Just like getting a Subway sandwich and taking Adderall. I didn't go, but I just assumed.
I think that's about right.
Yeah.
After the hockey playoffs, I'll never eat at a Subway ever again. It's the only advertiser on the NHL Network.
So it works
against them. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, because it's that jingle. $5. $5 foot long.
Yeah, that's why that's I've.
Catchy.
It's the only thing. It's the only thing in the world that I watch live. So you can't fast forward through it. You listen to the ad every 8 minutes.
I've been watching basketball, and there's this fucking ad where it's like this restaurant in New York that shut down because of the pandemic and couldn't survive, and then at the end it was like small businesses. Support them if you can. Facebook. And it's like, fuck you. You could literally support all of them. You have all the money. You took all the money. We have no money because of you. You fucking support them. Don't guilt me.
Yeah.
Zuck.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I saw a thing on Amazon. A news story about Amazon today because like Amazon has like Amazon Basics, which are like USB cords and, you know, just like
batteries.
You know, yeah, like cheap shit that like anyone could make and whatever.
Yeah.
They're all catching on fire and exploding.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, oh, great. Take this fucking guy down. Let's get that boat and put some homeless people on it.
Nothing can stop him. He'll never, like, it's like, you know, he'll buy Mars. And
then, well, but if he buys Mars, then, man, just imagine if everybody who sucks just was like, and now we're going to Mars. I think we'd be good. I think we'd be able to figure it out here on this planet.
Yeah, I think
I want to get left behind. I want to get left behind to run.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be a leftover.
Yeah. I only watch the first three episodes.
Just so, like that,
I assume it works out great.
It's great. It's a very great show. Here's another. Johnny D87 says, the Rage Against the Machine combo is a can of beans cooked over a campfire at a political rally.
That's very hobo.
The Queens of the Stone Age combo is... nicotine, Valium, Vicodin, marijuana, ecstasy, and alcohol with an optional side of cocaine.
I like how that's optional because he does say it like a question.
Yeah, cocaine. That's like the guy that like comes over prepared at the party and then like, but knows there's still the stigma behind cocaine. It's like, we got ecstasy. Everyone's like, yeah, we got marijuana. Yeah, Valium, Vicodin, shit, yeah, ecstasy. Oh, shit, alcohol. Fuck yeah. Weird way to end on after all those, but sure. And then cocaine. Whoa, dude.
Oh. You should have thrown, like, chewing tobacco in there or something.
Yeah. Like, chewing tobacco.
Dips.
The George Thorogood. Anybody know what that would be?
Bone. It's got to be some sort of bone broth, but it's
Scotch,
bad.
Whiskey, bourbon scotch.
Whatever. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has like five of those over the course of the song. So maybe it should be five whiskeys, five bourbons, five scotches, and five beers.
That's a family meal.
You all know a different George Thorogood song other than Bad to the Bone is what it appears to be happening. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Look, all I'm saying is... once you get that album, I'm excited to hear where your music turns now.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So as we all know, John Dolman, drummer, right-wing drummer of System of a Down.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Oh, he's been getting into, like, online fights with Surge over stuff. But, like, you know.
Props to Surge.
Yeah, but they, like, you know, they're old friends, and he's a great drummer. But he's very, very right-wing, and that's come out in a lot of his posts. But someone, apparently he has a comic company. He has a comic book store. And someone went on Yelp and left a review of his comic book store saying, if you care about Black lives, women's choice, and actually fighting racism and fascism, please do not buy from this store. And then like he just said he has a right to say that, but I have a right to have my opinion. He did that kind of thing, but
yeah,
But this guy sucks. He just fucking his stance on things is real fucking lame.
Where's his comic book store?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't look up that far. Sorry.
I'm gonna guess Glendale.
Yeah. Metallica wrote an orchestral version of Nothing Else Matters for a movie. If you were to think of a big movie coming out, what movie do you think it would be?
Batman.
Not Batman, but that is a great guess. That's
well,
a great
guess. Well, because fucking Something in the Way in the trailer.
That's which, right.
Oh my goodness. Kurt Cobain would hate that fucking shit. That's like egregious.
Who does it? Who's the one singing it?
I think it's him. I don't know.
Is this a remix or something?
I know that the story of that song is like he was in the control room on the couch just playing it and they mic'd him up and recorded to that.
Yeah.
So think of that becoming this like, and now it's for the Batman and everyone got COVID. It's just like,
I would think that if Kurt Cobain had survived, he would have come to grips with his music.
Celebrity.
Taken all that money and eventually become Batman. So I am going to disagree with you.
Yeah.
Finally, a Batman who's not a fucking asshole.
Just the Batman that can't really do much because he's so scrawny.
Yeah.
hair kind of popping out from the cowl.
Hey, no, it's
just like mine.
I'm not Kurt Cobain tucking it back in his head.
Yeah.
Someone else.
Batman showing up in these loose sweaters.
Yeah. Is Batman a close guess?
No, it's Disney's Jungle Cruise movie.
Oh.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's surprising. Didn't they already do orchestral
Nothing Else
of all
Matters?
Their songs?
Yeah, for Nothing Else Matters, an orchestral version. Well, they did like they added stuff, but I think this is like a whole orchestral version. It says it goes back to Disney production president Sean Bailey, who is a lifelong rock fan.
Oh. Glad to see there's still some rock fans out there. We'll take them where we could get them.
Who like is there anyone after 85 that says like what's your favorite kind of music? Well, rock, probably. Yeah,
me?
Rock.
I love rock.
I've been into rock for a long time.
Yes. All rock, I love. Rock just, for me, seems like such an odd way to describe music these days.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many subgenres. It's like, identify yourself, stranger.
I don't know. Fuck a subgenre, though. That makes it inaccessible. I think, like, you know, you meet just someone... you know, who doesn't have access to pretentiousness. Maybe they just describe it as rock. I think if you're a movie executive, you probably should know.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. If you're in
and that's how he introduces himself in a meeting. He's like, first thing, you might be noticing the guitars on my wall. I'm a bit of a rockhead.
It's like fucking Spotify guy with his like Target guitar t-shirt.
Yeah,
anymore,
yeah, yeah.
That thing. Like, hey, I understand music, everybody.
I like how you said that. Wrong. You gestured the wrong way to the guitars on your wall.
Oh no! In this guy's office, he doesn't have them behind him because that's unprofessional.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it for music news. We're going to go into a new little segment.
A new segment.
That was not surprised. Discussed, but it's just something. There wasn't a lot of news that I really liked.
Wardrobe change.
Wardrobe. All right. You got it, Neil? Let me know when you're ready, Neil.
Oh.
Look at that shaved head. Neil just took off the mask he committed to for the
infinitely more ska without the mask on.
Isn't that the name of your next record? Infinitely more ska.
Yeah, we're doing it together. Sorry, Neil.
It is now for This Week in Rock History.
Ooh.
It's where I found a website that shows you different little things that happen in rock as a way to have something to talk about.
That's great. My birthday was on Monday, so this is all.
Hey, it's funny. I didn't see that in the. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you hiding it on Facebook?
I'm not on. I haven't like looked at Facebook in a very, very long time, and I tweeted something about it being my birthday, and then 10 minutes later I was like, what the fuck, what am I trying to do here? And then I took it down. I was like, people who wish me a happy birthday know it's my birthday. And people,
so
like,
your birthday is
matter.
The 6th? Is that the 6th?
7th.
What's Monday?
The 7th.
Oh, the 7th. Okay. Yeah. Well, the day before, September 6th.
Our birthdays are exactly 6 months apart.
1970, Jimi Hendrix made his final live appearance when he appeared at the Isle of Femarn in Germany. The guitarist died 12 days later on 18th of September, 1970.
Dang, that's crazy. I guess I didn't realize he played 12 days before he died.
Yeah, I guess he was interviewed about 4 days before that, like talking about how he was going to start collaborating with on his next record with Miles Davis and Paul McCartney.
That would have been a sick record. Yeah. Wait, together?
Yeah, it was going to be a record. I'm not sure at the same time with all three of them or what, but he was like, he had plans on collaborating with both of them for his next musical project.
Would it still be, Mitch Mitchell, I think is his drummer's name, right?
Yes.
Mitch Mitchell.
Yeah.
Would it still be, oh my God, that would be so fucking sick.
I know. It would have been incredible. I don't think he was playing with Mitch Mitchell by then, though, because Mitch Mitchell never made it to.
At that point? But I like, bring them all back. Bring everybody in there. Fuck it. Oh, double drums.
Yes.
get the Grateful Dead guys.
In this week. This week in 1954, Elvis Presley played at the opening of the Lamar Airways Shopping Center in Memphis, Tennessee. Johnny Cash was in the audience, and after the show met Elvis for the first time. 2 years later, to the week, Elvis Presley made his first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Wow.
Wow.
You ever played a mall, Jeff?
My first band played in a Sam Goody in a mall. Does that count?
That does. That's two things that don't exist anymore.
You know... We didn't play in like the veranda or anything like that. We weren't big enough.
I sang French Christmas songs with a choir at Ala Moana Mall when I was in fourth grade. So that's
Were you supposed to, or did you just?
Yeah, no, I just joined in.
It was one of those improv everywhere things. Very big in Hawaii.
Yes, yeah.
To a mall in Hawaii, there was a choir singing Christmas songs. So there we go, in Kailua or in
Hawaii. That's actually, you went back in time.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. why I thought that was you.
That was me. Yeah. In 1965, this week, the Monkees was starting to get formed. A U.S. newspaper, The Hollywood Reporter, ran the following advertisement: Madness folk and roll musicians, singers wanted for acting roles in new TV show. Parts for four insane boys. And then 437 people applied for the job that would become the Monkees.
Dang.
Crazy. Oh. There's when some of us here.
Wait a minute.
Hey.
And
which is also the standard greeting this season, by the way.
Oh. There it is. We got it. Anybody?
shit.
Sync problems.
Yeah. Oh, this is a good song.
That'd be great to listen to.
Are those two pieces of paper that you're putting together?
I'm not a musician, Jeff.
I'm sorry. That's rude of me.
September 8th, 2002, not 1 year after 9/11, Iron Maiden singer Bruce Dickinson started his new job as an airline pilot.
Yes!
The heavy metal that singer rocks. Qualified.
I had no idea.
Yeah. He was a year first officer at Gatwick, at a Gatwick based airline, Astraeus, who took holidaymakers to Portugal and Egypt.
He's still in Iron Maiden too, right?
Yes. Yeah. He just started doing that as a hobby.
That's dream. It's like, get another job that has nothing to do with any of this shit. And then it's just like, oh, so I'm a pilot now. Who cares?
Well, the band owns like a 747.
Yes, and he flies it.
For like Rock and Rio and all that shit.
Yeah. And it's a way to write it off, I think.
You guys must know about Dexter Holland's jet, right? Singer of The Offspring has a plane. Okay, first of all, I'm trying to look this up as fast as I can because it's good. He has three planes. I know that he flew to every stop on the Warped Tour the year that he did it because I had friends who were on it and one of them rode with him. The plane looks like this.
Wow. Oh, wow. He's got the Anarchy.
Oh, Anarchy.
Yeah.
And he didn't pay for it. And he the company was like, hey, you got to pay for this jet. I think they repossessed his plane.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Dexter.
So he's no longer fly for a white guy.
That's why you have the job you have.
Yes, that's why I have the job I have that doesn't give me any money.
Yes, well, that's how.
And that's why the job doesn't have anyone anymore.
But here's something.
Look, I'm gonna be fair. I don't know what job you have.
September 7th is your birthday, correct?
Yes.
So on that day in 1968, Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, John Paul Jones, and John Bonham made their live debut as Led Zeppelin, but were billed as the New Yardbirds at a teen club in Gladsaxe, which is outside of Copenhagen.
Yardbirds already a band at that point?
Oh, yeah.
But in 68, yes, I believe so. That's which is like makes me think maybe
so
that's
sick.
I think that's what I think that's what they were referencing in Spinal Tap. It's like we were the originals, then there was a band from New Hampshire called The Originals, so we became the New Originals.
Yeah.
And also on September 7th, 1941 and 36, these are the birthdays, as well as Jeff Rosenstock, Otis Redding, and Buddy Holly.
Oh, what? Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know that my birthday is the same day as the singer of Gwar, or maybe the bass player of Gwar.
Oh, really?
But I had no idea it was the same as Otis Redding and Buddy Holly. That's tight.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, and you're wearing your Buddy Holly glasses.
In honor of knowing that I was going to receive some new information about
that. So we're going to take a break with play another song, and we'll be right back with more Jeff Rosenstock, where he's going to be giving you all of his tour dates for the year 2023. Hop Along just released a record, essentially the singer of Hop Along, which her name is
Frances Quinlan.
Thank you.
Buddy, she rules.
She's great. Hop Along is one of my favorite bands. She's one of my favorite singers, actually. She's one of my all-time favorite singers right now.
Yeah.
And she just recently released a solo record she made her freshman year of college. And it's really great. I guess she made it in her parents' basement her first summer back from college. And then and she said she was going through all these emotional, she would run upstairs to her parents and say I'm shit. I'm no good. She would have these breakdowns. And then I guess the drummer from Iron Sheik, then picked her up with the tapes, and then they drove, I think, to Rhode Island, and then mixed them all in a couple days.
Wow.
That's the story right there. But we're going to play a song.
Is this the Hop Along Queen Annalise stuff?
Yes, Hop Along Queen Annalise.
Oh, shit. That rules. I didn't know she put that out.
Yeah, it just got put out last week. So here's a song from it called Sirens. And we'll be right back with more Rosenstock.
If you move out west, it's best to keep a very close eye on your kids and pets, cause big birds have been known to dive and carry those precious things to heavy heights and drop them in a field where sad sisters all come down to kneel and hold their hands to their hearts. I've learned to like all of the things they love, I mean, they were crying.
When all you have is wings and presents themselves as a pretty big damn threat.
and this is Brittany Spears, and you're listening to Jonah Radio. And also check out Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix.
Thank you so much, Brittany, for that. Big fan, big Misty, that Britney Spears. That was, of course, Hop Along, Queen and Sleece, Frances Quinlan, from a new album, Freshman Year, or old album that she just released for the first time digitally. But an incredible, incredible singer.
Yeah. That was cool.
Timequake.
Yeah, I like
Timequake?
Yeah, Timequake. It's when
Jesus,
from
with
the
all
past.
Everything going on, now you got a fucking Timequake too.
Yeah, I know. It's
damn.
Well, if anything was gonna start, it would be now. Huh. Guys, the future is here.
What?
Wait, hold on. So Cash, Jeff, I'll let you know this. Like a while back, like I was talking about how I don't like to write lyrics, but I love making dumb songs real quick. Yeah. And then Cash just remembered that he wrote lyrics to a song and forgot to send them. Cash, do you want to just read through the lyrics for the song you sent?
Sure. I was thinking that not to tell you my creative process, Jeff, but this is my first song. I wrote a song about a kid getting a grappling hook. Because I think that would be the coolest thing. When I was a kid, I wanted a grappling hook. And, like, there was a whole, kid neighbor thing where it's like everybody had cool stuff. So this is,
Did you play a lot of Bionic Commando growing up?
A little Bionic. Yeah.
Make you want a grappling hook.
And, like, the Batman thing where that, like, I remember in the first movie, there's a shot of him using his, like, grappling hook thing and it, like, wraps around the,
Yeah,
the whatever he's grappling, and I was like, I always wanted to try that, and I could never make it like catch itself. So I wrote this song called "Grappling Hooks."
So tell us the lyrics.
The lyrics are: it was awesome when Cody did that flip. Riley's dad, it was awesome when Cody did that flip. Riley's found him a bow fighting stick. Neil's got a flea market throwing star, but I got him all beat by far. Grappling hook. Grappling hook, grappling hook. Harley's got a jacket from his dad that's camo, and Stokely's headband got him looking like Rambo. But I sent away from a mag I found, and when it gets here, I'll go roof from the ground. Grappling hook, grappling hook, grappling hook.
Who do you know named Stokely?
Stokely Carmichael? I don't know anybody named most of these things. I know a Cody.
Going roof.
Yeah. Going roof to ground.
I'm going to go fucking roof on this shit.
Yeah. So this morning, I hopped on to GarageBand and picked up my guitar, and within a few minutes before we recorded, made a version of this song using Cash's lyrics. So here we go. The world premiere.
Yes.
Of Grappling Hook.
Drums sound good.
Cash, there you go. There was the song you made.
How do you feel?
Royalties on this? Like, what's the scoop?
We're all, it's vinyl only. We're doing a vinyl only release. Download code.
Cause single only.
All right.
Have you heard this yet? Was that
time? That was the first time.
What are you thinking? You're the artist. You put yourself out into the universe, and this is what the universe
You're Bernie Taupin to his Elton John right now.
It is kind of a good feel. It's You know what it is? It's that feeling of collaboration where it was like, I heard some of it when I was putting it into the lyrics form, but then I'm surprised by what he gave me. So at the same time, it's familiar and it's new. It's a great feeling.
Potluck, baby.
It's
cool. Potluck.
Yeah, no. We should, I think it needs a third verse. I will say that's a criticism directed at me.
Listen, I just used what
no,
I
No, 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 I get it. I'm not blaming you.
You
I'm
just
not
listen to the song again if you want a third verse.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah.
Short enough.
Well, I'll give it a third verse, and then we can like make it like a podcast thing.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good. That's a good song.
It's going to have a lot of la-la-la's.
It's got FYP vibes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I almost was going to go in and just do that tuka 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 kind of thing.
There's a lot of instruments in that for just doing it right before we started, too.
You know, for a while there was a I was trying to do a lead with this, but it's more complicated than I'm used to.
Yeah.
A lot of breathing.
I have that exact one, and I know that some of those notes are not so good.
So that's it for our show. Jeff, where can people find you? Where do you want them to know about you as far as
I don't know. I put out records. They're on all the things. I got a new record called No Dream. If you're listening to this, I know we spoke about Amazon, stop buying stuff from Amazon. It's easy. Mm-hmm. It just takes an extra like 10 minutes maybe to like Google the thing that you were going to buy on Amazon and buy it somewhere else. So yes. Fuck Jeff Bezos. I don't
toilet.
Know.
Yeah,
it's
no, that's toilet person.
It is. It is
toilet person. I thought you were going to say toilet paper though. Where are you going to get that? No shit. I don't know.
He's a toilet water drinker.
Yes.
Oh, somebody came in the store the other day and asked if we had shit tickets, and I have been delighted ever since.
Where
shit tickets
for toilet paper?
Yeah. Hey, you guys got any shit tickets? And it took me a second, then I was like, oh, that's the perfect metaphor. Like,
that's a fucking incredible way to, that's, I don't want to call it anything else anymore.
That's good.
Oh my God. Oh, shit.
Well, we got song number two.
There it is. Yeah, shit tickets.
You're going to have a 7-inch soon enough.
Yeah.
You could play it on 78. Just one on each side. Super, super short songs.
Perfect.
I had a 7-inch this morning. It took me 6 shit tickets to get rid of it.
But yeah, thanks Jeff for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks a lot for having me.
Live stuff and like a little fundraiser stuff. Really great to have you on.
Thanks.
And we're gonna end with a song from an artist that I just recently found out about. But they put out an album. Called Hannah. The artist is Lomelda, and the song is Hannah's Son, and it's incredible. The whole album is very, very good. So we're gonna play that.
Cool.
And tell your friends about the show. And thanks, Jeff, for being here. All right.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks, Dan Engler.
Thanks to Dan Engler. And you know what? Special shout out to Dan Lechtenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Here we go.
I sent you the sun from my hometown in Chicago and Atlanta, sinking at the sight of your shadow on the sidewalk in Spain. Sinking on a call from your